Israel and Judah, Chapter 38. The death of Elisha, 1898. Some 65 years had passed since Elisha entered the service of Elijah, when he fell sick. Of his sickness whereof he died, there was yet much wickedness in the land, and the ancient sin of Jeroboam still bore its evil fruit. But in many respects the closing circumstances of Elisha's life present a brighter picture than could have been seen in Israel at the beginning of his work. The zealous purging of Jehu, the oppression of Hazael, king of Syria, and the faithful, enduring testimony of Elisha's influence, had not been without effect. The royal attitude toward Elijah had been one of eager, relentless persecution. He had been accounted a hateful enemy, he that troubles Israel. But on Elisha's deathbed, the king of Israel came to mourn the loss of one who had been a bulwark to the state, more efficient for defense than all its panoply of military strength. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, faithful work. One especially pleasing feature in the history of the sister country of Judah deserves notice. It bears witness to a revival of the spirit that had of old exalted the nation, recalling the few occasions on which they had consecrated themselves to God with unreserved devotion. It was in connection with the restoration of the temple and telling of the way in which the funds were handled, the record says. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men, into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Elisha's blessing. At the time Elijah was instructed to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his own room, the sentence of judgment went forth against Israel. It shall come to pass, that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Now that Elisha was about to leave the people he loved, for whom his long life had been spent, he desired to see this sentence lifted from them. The destruction was accomplished. Jehu had done his part, and passed away. Hazael's reign was near its close, and Elisha himself was on his dying bed. He wished to leave a blessing and not a curse behind him, as Moses blessed the children of Israel before his death, and as Christ longed to bless his own who received him not, when he beheld the city and wept over it. It was not yet too late for Israel and Judah to turn from their wickedness and fill the high position destined for them. The Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, either did he cast them from his presence as yet. Elisha hoped that they had learned the lesson which their afflictions had been designed to teach, and that he might leave for them a last message of blessing and comfort in the promise of perfect deliverance from their enemies. A sign of weakness. At his direction the king of Israel aimed an arrow through the open window toward the stronghold of their Syrian foes. This was a declaration of war, and since God, by the prophet, directed the flight of the arrow, it showed that his hand was against their enemies. Elisha then told the king to take the arrows and smite upon the ground with them. He did so thrice and stopped. This revealed to Elisha that only thrice would it be possible for the Lord to lead the armies of Israel to victory. And he was wroth with the king, and told him that if he had smitten 5 or 6 times, he should have smitten Syria till he had consumed it. The sign was of the Lord. It simply indicated the future, but did not control it. And Elisha's wrath was against the spirit of indifference and backsliding that was so easily contented, when it might have had all that was to be desired. Elisha knew from this that the Reformation in Israel was only a partial and transitory one, and that there was no prospect of a complete deliverance from the bondage of sin and all the other forms of slavery thus entailed, because in their hearts the people loved to have it so. Jeremiah 5 verse 31. Willing bondage. It seems surprising indeed that a people could be found, so enslaved in heart as not to desire freedom when they might easily have it, but to this day men are displaying the same lack of appreciation of their privileges. God wants to set us free. The Son came at infinite sacrifice to make us free indeed. And sometimes, when the way of transgression becomes especially hard, and the intolerable degradation of spiritual bondage makes the iron enter into our souls, we do rejoice at the offer of freedom, and for a while, exchange the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yet, too often, we fail to realize how great a salvation is provided for us in the gift of Christ, and are so easily satisfied. As the sense of condemnation is taken away, it is felt that all is well, and that there is no danger of further subjection. Satan awaits his opportunity, and ere long, instead of going on from strength to strength, we find ourselves again led captive. Why should we not smite again and again until our enemies be utterly consumed? Limiting God. It is the Lord who fights for us, but we are workers together with him. He is willing and anxious to show himself strong in our behalf, and to work in us more than we can ask or think of freedom and power and deliverance. But he does not thrust himself upon us unbidden. He desires that we shall seek his help, and meet the tempter in his strength. He is able to do all things, but his people ask so little at his hands. They let go the arm of the Lord too soon. He only finds occasional admittance to their hearts, and has no opportunity allowed to show what he can do for those who trust him. His rightful place is in the heart, but he is made to stand without, knocking and pleading for permission to come in. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why should you be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? The Lord reproached his people of old because they limited the Holy One of Israel. If we would cease to limit him with our unbelief, and our disposition to sit down and go no further whenever we receive a blessing, he would speedily make bare his holy arm in the sight of the nations, and all the ends of the earth would see the salvation of God. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. That which prevents our having this experience in its fullness is set out in the following verse, in which the Lord expresses himself as a man astonied, or bewildered, a mighty man that cannot save. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto you? O Judah, what shall I do unto you? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goes away. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A wonderful miracle. One more miracle is recorded in relation with Elisha, and it took place after his death. A band of Moabite invaders, burying one of their company, were surprised and hastily cast the body into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down, and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, and stood up on his feet. The narrative is very brief, and we are not told why God wrought this miracle, but it must have been a striking lesson to Israel. As Elisha's presence was withdrawn and clouds were once more gathering round the nation, it would remind them that the power by which he spoke and lived was not diminished, and that while his body was fast turning to dust and was withdrawn from their eyes, the God in whose presence Elisha stood and walked was still among them, able to use that which was weak, and even that which was not, to accomplish his great designs. E.J. Wagoner.